Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 113, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. And if you're joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. Thanks for lending us your time. We are going to make it worth your while. I'm Stephen Fenech and I'm the very proud editor of techguide.com.au. We've just returned from Berlin where we saw the latest smartphones, wearables, TVs from companies like Sony, Samsung, LG and many more. And we'll run through all of the major highlights on the show as well as chat with the Sony Xperia head of marketing, Callum McDougall, in the Tech Guide interview. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the Bose noise-canceling headphones and the portable battery for your MacBook. In the Tech Guide help desk, we'll talk about the theft of those nude celebrity photos, how it might have happened, and how you can prevent it happening to you. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking. Well, as I said at the top of the show, I have just returned from Berlin and I saw a lot of cool new products. We're going to talk about Samsung and Sony and LG and a few other companies. I thought I'd kick it off with Sony. And up front, I just want to state that actually Sony flew me to Berlin. I was their guest. So I just wanted to let that be known before I started talking about all their products and what products they did release. They had quite a busy time in Berlin. Their main releases were two Xperia smartphones, two wearable devices, and a new tablet, among other devices, but they're the highlights. Well, we'll start off with the Sony Xperia Z3 smartphones. They released the Z3 and the Z3 Compact. Now, the Z3 and Z3 Compact have differing screen sizes. Of course, the Z3 has a 5.2-inch screen. The Compact has a 4.6-inch screen. Now, apart from the screen sizes and the screen resolutions, every other feature of the products are the same, has the same camera, same processor, and all these other features are identical. So the only choice a customer has to make is that screen size and resolution. Of course, the larger screen, the 5.2, is a full HD screen. The Z3 Compact, 4.6-inch, still 720p, so still a very good quality screen. Both screens, as a matter of fact, contained Sony's tri-luminous technology, the same display technology that's found on their Bravia smart TVs. It does look like a great screen. But what I like about the product, apart from its design, it has been redesigned. The Z3 has a more around curved edges, looks a little bit sleeker. The Compact, still a nice size phone. So for those people who may be wanting to stick to a smaller size phone, not a very small phone, but 4.6-inch is still big enough to enjoy that larger display, but also small enough to still maybe control things with one hand. The 5.2 continues on from the Xperia Z2. So if you're used to that screen size, and then the Z3 is going to offer the exact thing. Now, as I mentioned, the design has been redefined. It looks a bit smoother and sleeker, but the features on board all reflect the major tent poles for Sony. We're talking photography, so their camera technology, sensor technology, their display technology, also on board. They also bring other things in like battery, we'll talk about in a moment, but they also have another property, PlayStation. There is a feature on board these new Xperia Z3 phones called Remote Play, and I will talk about them in a moment. But first of all, let's just go through the design. The Z3 is 7.3 millimeters thick, weighs 152 grams. The Z3, 8.3 millimeters thick, and weighs 129 grams. Now, both phones have quad-core Snapdragon 801 processors running at 2.5 gigahertz. So it does really power that screen, and things run quite smoothly We did have a hands-on session with both of the devices, so I'm speaking here not just from reading a spec sheet, I've actually used these two devices, and we were very impressed. Now, the camera. This is a major highlight of any Xperia user will tell you the camera is a standout feature. And once again, it does include a 20.7 megapixel camera. It's got a 25 millimeter G lens. And it's also got that specially designed sensor for mobile, the Exmor RS. Now, what this basically means is you're going to get superior photos, so better photos in low light conditions. Now, a lot of people take pictures in these sorts of conditions, and the Sony can really come to the party here. There was a great demo on the display, actually, of a you could test your existing phone against the new Xperia phone. Now, the ISO on this is the highest on that you'll find on a mobile device. It's 1280 ISO, which means can capture a lot of light. A lot of light gets in on the sensor. But this little test they had on the stand allowed you to photograph something that was virtually in darkness inside a little box, and then you compare that to what the Xperia Z3 can produce, and the difference in brightness was absolutely stunning. On the audio side, another legacy feature for Sony, their audio technology also comes into play here. They've got a feature called DSEEHX technology, which is a digital signal enhancer technology. In other words, it can upscale your music. So if you've got MP3 AAC files, it can upscale them to near high-res audio quality. Pretty much like a TV can upscale a DVD to near Blu-ray quality. These Xperia Z3 can do the same for your music. I did the test on the stand as well. Went from MP3 to the DSEE, and the difference is easily noticeable. Now, if you pair it with a Sony digital noise cancelling headset, the two work together nicely, and you'll see a real improvement in your audio quality. On the camera side, once again, there are also several new features. One of my favourites is Face In, so it allows you to take a photograph, and you can see actually your face. So if you're taking a photo, you'll see my story on Tech Guide. I took a photo of the Brandenburg Gate, and there is then my photo in the corner. So I took a selfie as well as a photo of the Brandenburg Gate at the same time, and it time stamped it. So not a bad little feature. There's also a great cool feature called multi-camera. So imagine if you're pairing up more than one Xperia device or a handy cam or an action cam, you can get multiple views of the same thing with up to three devices paired together, whether it's a photograph or video. So that's another cool new feature. If you're a gamer, I mentioned PlayStation Remote. Of course, this is an exclusive feature for Sony. They own the PlayStation brand, the PlayStation 4 console. So now there's PS4 Remote Play. So picture this scenario. You want to play your game, but there's someone who's watching the television. What it allows you to do is it allows you to put the game into the PS4, and then your phone becomes the screen. So you can, within your network, remotely play whatever game is in the PS4 console using the DualShock controller from the PlayStation on your smartphone. Remote play, another terrific new feature. Now, the Z3s are going to be offered by all of the major operators, and we're expecting to see it in around October is our best information. There's several colors available too. Z3 is going to be available in copper, silver, and black. The Z3 Compact will be available in red, green, black, and white. So excellent new devices there from Sony. Real hero products here, and making the best use of Sony's legacy technology, proprietary technology across the company. Now, moving on to their wearable products. They unveiled not just one, but two new wearable devices. We'll kick off with the Smartwatch 3. Obviously, a follow-on from the Smartwatch 2. Big difference here, though, is design. It has got a slightly a sleeker design. Again, those sort of rounded edges rather than those sharp, harsh corners. Another major difference is under the hood. It's got Android Wear, the operating system. So Google's wearable operating system, Android Wear, is now aboard the Smartwatch 3. It's got a 1.6-inch screen, 320 by 320 screen, running Android Wear, which means it can give you all your notifications to your wrist. It's even got 4 gig of memory on board, so you can actually sideload some music and listen to it wirelessly with a pair of Bluetooth headphones without even the need to have your phone handy. So you can control all of that directly from your phone. The other wearable device that Sony has brought out is the Sony Smart Band Talk. Now, this is an activity band with a bit of a difference. It's got a 1.4-inch screen, but it's not an LCD screen. It's an e-ink screen, similar to what you'd find on a Kindle or an e-reader. The advantage of this is that it's easily visible in bright light. The other advantage is that it hardly uses any power. So you're going to get literally days of use from this between charges. Now, it can read your steps, can give you sleep information, other activities. But what this and the Smartwatch 3 does, it actually taps into Sony's Life Log app. So not only can it give you all your physical information, your activity information, it can also let you set things like bookmarks. So you might be enjoying a memorable dinner or viewing a sunset or listening to a certain type of music. It can actually log everything you're doing so that you can look back and see what you've done. You can also use that information to improve whatever you want in your life. You might see that you're not getting enough sleep, you're not getting enough steps, you're spending too much time listening to music instead of working. It gives you all those kinds of things that allows you to track everything you're doing. The Sony Xperia Z3 tablet is the last product we're going to talk about. The Z2 tablet, it's looking at that design, shrunk down to an 8-inch screen. It features most of those features we mentioned with the Xperia Z3 phones, including things like remote play. It's got the triluminous display technology, multi-camera, it's the same XMORE RS sensor. It's also fully waterproof. I forgot to mention all the Z3s and all of their devices, even the wearables, are all waterproof, fully waterproof. One thing I didn't mention earlier is the Z3's battery, and that Sony are claiming that it has a two-day battery life. And we're not talking 2 days sitting in a corner not being used. 2 days in full use. Our next segment's going to feature an interview with Callum McDougal, who's the Xperia product manager, marketing manager. He's going to explain why all of those features are available. But the whole lineup is pretty impressive from Sony. They are going to be out within the next month or so. You'll see them definitely before Christmas. But again, Sony bringing the best of the company, all these different parts of the company, focusing on mobile. Mobile is a central part of Sony because all of these different technologies feed into this central product that allows you to enjoy it on one device, but also control other devices. So there was a real story they had to tell. If you want to read more about all of those stories, the wearables and the Xperia Z3 devices, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Now, as we just mentioned, we sat down with Callum McDougal, who is the Xperia marketing manager, and he was at IFA and sat down with us to chat about a few things, the features, why the battery is going to last 2 days, or how handy PS4 remote play is. So he's probably the best informed man from Sony to talk about the Xperia brand, and here's what he had to say when we met him in Berlin. Well, Callum, thank you for joining us, and congratulations. That was an excellent press conference with a very impressive array of products, the Xperia Z3, the Z3 Compact, and a real ecosystem of products. Would that be the way you describe it?
Yeah, I think array of products is the right term. We wanted to deliver choice to people, so we felt it was our task to bring a range of products. As you say, a Z3 series of products, Z3, our new flagship device, 5.2-inch screen, but brings the highest rating of waterproofing in the smartphone, superior low-light photos, it brings up to 2 days battery life, and it is the very first smartphone in the world that enables you to have PlayStation 4 gaming through remote play.
It seems that you've done your homework in the interim since the Z2. You've really listened to customers and the feature set on these devices. It appears that you've obviously put a lot of thought into it, and the word great is going to be part of your marketing. Sort of tell us about the approach you're going to take there.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've put a lot of thought into how we've developed the Z series devices, and I think our focus has been to innovate for things that are relevant for you guys, people who actually buy and use smartphones. And that's why we've focused on areas like battery life, like waterproof, like camera capability, and improved all of those areas where we know consumers have concerns and want to use their smartphones in new ways. And of course, honestly, there are many good smartphones on the market right now. Our task is to make a great one and improve in the areas that matter to you. And that's the task we've taken for the Z3 devices.
So what do you think is your competitive edge here? You did say that the smartphones are a tough market, but you guys bring a lot of
technology, a lot of legacy to the table. So is that kind of your edge, do you think, over your competitors?
Yeah, I think that's right. Our competitive advantage is what we as Sony as a company do. We make TVs, we make games and PlayStation 4, we make digital still imaging cameras, we make audio systems, and we can bring all of that technology and expertise into a smartphone. So whether you're interested in music, you can listen to it in high res on a smartphone. If you're interested in gaming, you can play your PlayStation 4 games. By bringing all that technology and expertise together, we can deliver an experience that is better for you guys as end users.
And in the wearable space, like that's obviously another add-on to your smartphone life, is now being able to track you with the life log and having these wearable devices. How important was that to get them to integrate seamlessly with these new range of products?
Yeah, very important. I think our task with wearables is to find a way that they connect with your smartphone to enable you to do something you couldn't do before. And for us in wearables, with Smartband Talk, new today, and Smartwatch 3 today, yes, as you mentioned, they connect to the LifeLog application, new fun application that doesn't just measure your calories and steps, but what music you've listened to, what games you've played. But our smartwear also enables you to do new things. So with Smartband Talk, I can answer calls from my wrist. It's the Star Trek moment. You can actually do it now.
I was thinking more Dick Tracy, actually, but I'll go with Star Trek.
Dick Tracy's probably cooler. That's probably what I should have said the first time. With your smartwatch, you can check your emails on your wrist, but it's also a Walkman on your wrist. If you want to go out running and you want to listen to music, you can go out running with your Bluetooth headset. There's a GPS on board, so it'll monitor the run you've made. You don't even need to take your smartphone with you. So I think by using smartwear in a way that delivers new and relevant experiences, we can create something fresh for all users.
Let's talk features. Now, the camera is, again, a standout feature, and it brings in technology developed from your camera range. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I think our task with Z Series devices is to bring digital still camera technology into the smartphone, and we bring it in three areas. One is the lens. So it's we bring our camera G lens into our smartphones. This is a new G lens, 25mm lens, that gives you a wider field of view. The second area is the sensor. So we have the processor that processes the image you've taken. And then finally, we have the Exmor RS sensor. This sensor has been upgraded, so it is ISO rated 12,800. In real money, that means it has higher low light sensitivity, so you can take better pictures in low light. So now with these new digital still camera features we bring in, it's better low light pictures, it's a wider field of view, but we've also improved the video camera capability. So we have steady shot image stabilization. So if you're running along, or if you're fitter than me, you're paragliding, doing something like that, you can capture a steady image as well.
Okay. Let's switch over to audio. So the Walkman brand is obviously a very well-known brand, and that's high-res audio is something else that's been introduced to the Z3 series.
Yeah, so with the Z3 series, it's high-res audio enabled. So if you want to listen to music as the artist really intended, you can listen to high-res audio tracks. But even if you don't have high-res audio tracks, we still want to give you the best experience. So we have a technology called DSEEHX. That's a digital sound enhancement engine, and basically it's an upscaling engine. So you can take your own MP3 tracks that might be a little bit compressed, turn on DSEEHX, and what it does is it adds in the high-frequency harmonics that have been compressed out, so it improves your listening experience. So whether you've got high-res audio or ordinary tracks, you get a great listening experience.
All right, the display. Now, triluminous is something that we see on your Bravia 4K televisions, and now it's already been on the Z2, I understand, but also the Z3. You're looking at a dazzling screen as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we brought our TV technology, Triluminous Display and X-Reality Engine, into the TV. Triluminous Display gives you brighter colours, so 600 candela. It's a brighter screen. X-Reality Engine is another upscaling engine. So you take a low-quality picture and it fills in the pixels. But if I'm honest, maybe the most important thing we've done with the screen is what we've not done. So we've chosen not to put a 2K screen into the device. We make 4K TVs, and there is technology on the market to put a 2K screen in the device. We've chosen not to do it for two reasons. Mostly on a smartphone, it's beyond really what the human eye can see. But, and this is reason number two, it consumes a lot of battery. So our view from a consumer point of view is that a full HD screen with our TV technologies is going to give you a great view, the brightest smartphone screen you can get, but without the trade-off of losing the battery that you're going to get with 2K.
Well, that's my next feature we're going to talk about, the battery. Yep. Good segue there. 2 days. How do you get 2 days out of a battery?
Yeah, there's two key pieces in it. One is the chipset from our friends at Qualcomm. So there's a 2.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, which is more and more efficient. But actually, the other part of the secret is also in the display. So we have in the display something that we describe as memory on display. And that means there's RAM, there's actually memory in the display module. So when you're looking at something on the screen, the display module will cache the image. So if it's a still image like an email or a web page, it'll cache the image. This means it doesn't have to go back to the CPU to refresh. It's a complicated explanation for me. It uses less battery because it taps into the CPU better and it makes it a much more efficient usage.
Right. And finally, the PlayStation. If there's an exclusive feature on a Z3, has to be PlayStation. That's part of your portfolio here. So remote play. So if the wife decides she wants to watch her shows, you can still play the PlayStation through the Z3.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need a TV to play on your PlayStation anymore. So if somebody else in the household has got control of the remote control, it doesn't matter. If you're mid-game, you can stop your game on your TV and continue on your smartphone. You just connect your smartphone to your home Wi-Fi network, which it will be anyway, along with your PlayStation 4. Get your DualShock 4 controller and you carry on gaming where you left off using your smartphone screen.
Wouldn't you just rather people buy more Sony TVs? Would that help? Or
I think, again, it's down to you guys as consumers. You can buy another TV for upstairs, but you can buy a smartphone or a tablet as well and carry on gaming as well. It's up to us to give you guys the choice.
Okay. Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Stephen, and good to have you here at IFA.
Okay, now let's chat about what some other companies unveiled at IFA, and we're talking Samsung here, LG as well. Samsung had a big event on the eve of IFA. Now, IFA is an annual event in Berlin, annual consumer tech event, pretty much the European version of the Consumer Electronics Show, the popular Las Vegas show that's held every January. Well, imagine that in Germany, European flavor, and at the time of year when companies are releasing new products just ahead of Christmas. Now, Samsung held their own Unpacked event a couple of days before IFA kicked off, and the main products to come out of that were the Samsung Galaxy Note 4, the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge, the Samsung Gear S smartwatch, and also the Samsung Gear VR. Let's go through them really quickly. The Samsung Galaxy Note 4. Now, this has taken that Note family even further. It's got a slightly bigger screen, 5.7 inches, quad HD this time, Super AMOLED, with a resolution of 2560 by 1440. Design's had a bit of a refresh too. It's got a steel edge, similar textured leather back panel. Also, of course, comes with the S Pen, but the S Pen does a lot more this time around. Not only are there more strokes on the pen, so calligraphy, fountain pens, but it can also be used, the S Pen, as a mouse. So pretend you need to highlight different, say, passages of text or move around a website. The S Pen is like your mouse for the S4. Now, it's also got a couple of other new features, one called Snap Note, which actually can take a picture of, say, a blackboard or a whiteboard, and then convert that text into an editable note, whether it's a stroke, so a lot like something you've drawn yourself, or text that you can edit also. Another enhancement is the battery. They're saying that you can recharge up to 50% of your battery by plugging in for 30 minutes. Overall, it will charge up to 30% faster, but they found that 30-minute time is roughly the average time people have time to connect their phone to power on their go during the day. So good news that it can get that quick charge in such a short time. But the device itself felt really great in the hand. You'll see some pictures of me holding it on Tech Guide. The S Pen has definitely been enhanced, even the writing. So it does give you that real tactile feel, more responsive than ever. It's like literally writing on paper. You think you're writing on paper. It's just as responsive as you writing with a pencil on a piece of paper. The S Pen can do that. So if you're a fan of the old Note devices, this one takes it even further. Speaking of taking things further, there is another Galaxy Note in the family. This one's called the Galaxy Note Edge. Now, this is a device that has a curved screen. Now, the actual screen itself is not curved. The edge of the screen is curved, and you can actually interact with the edge of that screen. So think of the Galaxy Note, but the right edge now curves downwards, and that little curve, it's about 160 pixels across, now acts as a shortcut to apps, notification bar. There's pictures of me of the device on on Tech Guide. So that little edge is actually scrollable. So if you've got something you don't want to disturb what you're doing on the main screen, you can actually scroll through things on the curved edge. So it gives you a selection of apps. So you might go straight to the camera, straight to your contacts, browser, email. That can all be accessed from the edge of the device. It's basically the Galaxy Note, but with that curved right edge. Check it out at Tech Guide. Or another product that we alluded to a couple of weeks ago, the Gear S smartwatch. Now, this is a 2-inch curved AMOLED display. Fits on your wrist. It curves right around your wrist and gives you a lot more screen real estate. So you can do things like typing on the screen, reading more on the screen. So it gives you more room to move. Might not be for everyone. It might look a bit big on your wrist if you're a female, for example, or got a small wrist just to begin with. It does look a bit chunky, but for those who are willing to carry this sort of device around, be seen with this device, it is well worth their time. Not running Android Wear, but again, Samsung's own software. The last device Samsung unveiled at Unpacked was a virtual reality voice, the Gear VR. VR, of course, being short for virtual reality. They've actually partnered with Oculus, which is the very popular virtual reality device company, now owned by Facebook, I believe. Now, the idea of this product is that you wear it on your head like a pair of goggles, and it gives you this immersive cinema-like effect. Now, what they've done, though, the screen for the VR is actually the Galaxy Note 4. So you click the Note 4 into place, and that becomes the display that you're looking at as if it's you're sitting in a cinema. Both 2D and 3D experiences available. We had a try, and there was a Cirque du Soleil performance that it felt like we were sitting in the audience in Las Vegas, and we could look around, up and down, and it's like we were there. There's also a gaming options as well. We played a game on the device too, and again, moving your head around really immersed you in the game. Samsung, lots of products to look forward to. Read more Tech Guide. But lastly, before we move on, we had a look at another popular product that was at IFA, and it was another smartwatch. And it was from LG. Now, LG only just recently released their first smartwatch, the G Watch. What they've released now is the G Watch R. Now, the difference with that is that actually, at first glance, it does look like an actual watch. It's got a round face, and looking at the screen with the hands on the screen, you would swear it's a real watch. That's actually an OLED display you're looking at. Again, running Android Wear, scroll through the screens. I think it's going to be a very popular product once it comes into the market in the next month or so. The LG Watch, the G Watch R, unveiled for the first time at IFA. And if you want to read any more about those devices, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the world's first tri-band router, the Nighthawk X6 R8000. Now, think for a moment, how many devices are on your network, wireless devices? Are you in a house with maybe 5, 10? Is there 20? If you're anything like me, more than 20. If you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming, even updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. The latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in the home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/NighthawkX6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Now, whenever Bose release a new product, we sit up and take notice. They're the sort of company that doesn't just release a new product every year. They only release a new product when they've got one better than the old one. And in this case, the Quiet Comfort 25 noise-cancelling headphones really does deliver. The QC25s will take the place of the old QC15s. Now, the QC25s have a completely new look. They've got this new minimalist look using different materials and a design that's engineered so that the cups sit even closer to your ears. Of course, on board is Bose's signature noise cancellation technology. Now, what this, how this is achieved and has been improved, there are microphones placed inside and outside of the cup. And what these do, these measure all the ambient noise and send it to a digital chip on board. And what happens, an opposite noise is generated, and so that signal is cancels out that other, the outside ambient noise, in a fraction of a second. It's also got new active equalizer on board, so that, of course, apart from having excellent noise cancellation, you're also going to hear pretty smooth music, true to life, great bass output. Uses Bose's new triport technology, so it gives bass a real kick. And there's so much detail in the music, it's amazing. There's two colours available this time around too. The QC25 is available in black. It's also available in white. The white has tan leather ear cups as well as a headband. Black is all black. What they also share too is a blue inner lining of the ear cups. Ear cups are quite comfortable, made of protein leather, whatever it is. It is actually quite soft, so ensures a very comfortable fit for hours and hours at a time. It's powered by a single AAA battery, and that'll give you up to 35 hours of use, which is pretty good. And if the battery does die, you can actually still use the headphones. Maybe not as the noise cancellation won't be as good, but you'll still be able to hear your music. Now, what the QC25 also does is fold up into quite a small package, probably one of the smallest on the market. So they fold up, the ear cups can tilt and swivel and fit in a tiny little carry case. The Quiet Comfort 25 noise cancelling headphones are available now, and they're priced at $399. If you want to see what they look like, take a look at techguide.com.au. Now, here's another handy new product if you are a MacBook user. It's called the Chug Plug. It's actually a portable battery. Now, we've heard of portable batteries for smartphones, but never for a MacBook. Well, the Chug Plug is the first. And what it allows you to do, if you're using a MacBook Air or a 13-inch MacBook Pro, you can extend your battery life on the move by up to 4 hours. Now, it's shaped in such a way that it actually utilizes your existing charging brick and cable. To charge the Chug Plug, you connect the existing PowerPoint cable, so which this would usually go into the back of the power brick of your MacBook. Instead, goes into the back of the Chug Plug, into the PowerPoint, that provides the charge. If you charge it for 4 hours, you'll get 4 hours of battery life on the move. Now, the other end of the Chug Plug connects to that that power brick. So instead of it being connected by cable to your PowerPoint, the Chug Plug connects to the brick, which then connects using the magnetic adapter, and then that can provide up to 4 hours of charge on the move. So then there's no need to look for a PowerPoint. How many MacBook users have in the past been on fumes, 1% or 2% battery, and because they couldn't find a PowerPoint, they couldn't continue to use their MacBook? With the Chug Plug, that problem is a thing of the past. Now, it'll only work with 45-watt and 60-watt MacBooks, which is the MacBook Air, 13-inch MacBook Pro. I've tested it on the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. Doesn't work because it doesn't provide enough power output. But I'm sure plenty of users out there that have got MacBook Airs and 13-inch MacBook Pros, forget having to hunt around for a PowerPoint. The Chug Plug can come to the rescue. Available now from Harvey Norman stores. It's priced at $199.95. And if you want to see what it looks like, have a guess what? Check it out at techguide.com.au. Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, the help desk this week is going to cover the iCloud photo theft for all the nude celebrity photographs that were allegedly stolen from iCloud backups and iCloud photo streams. And I'm going to talk about, well, how we think it might have happened. Now, how it happened is this. Apple's servers, Apple's systems were not compromised. They did not break into Apple's computers and systems and steal passwords. What happened? Well, hackers which were guessing Apple IDs, and in the case of celebrities, they took a few pot shots. It was a brute force attempt. So in other words, several attempts to try to find the right Apple ID. They may have supplied it unwittingly, maybe through a phishing email. And what some of these hackers and thieves have done is that they've logged in using the ID, but then requested a password reset. So they had to answer a couple of security questions. And of course, being famous people, a lot of this information is out there. So Jennifer Lawrence, for example, she was one of the stars. Kate Upton, the model, Kirsten Dunst, several other celebrities had all these were embarrassed because they're what they considered their private photographs. In many cases, they were nude, semi-nude photographs, intimate moments that they were meant for their eyes only. These hacker thieves decided to get into them and share them. So the reason that happened, as we said, it was a human problem rather than a technical problem. It's the passwords, the strength of the passwords, the strength of that was compromised. The iCloud is like a multi-million-dollar safe. The password you put on it is the lock. If you put on an easily crackable password, that lock's not going to be worth $2, and people are going to get in. So the lesson here, for other people to take from this, is to have a strong password. Now, there's also a two-step authentication process that exists. So, in other words, if someone wants to enter your account, or you want to enter your account through another device, or access your backup, then you'll need to supply not only the original password but also a backup code. Or there may be a case where you can obtain a special access code that's SMS'd to your smartphone. So Apple have come out and expressed very disappointment in the fact that these photographs were stolen. They again repeated in their statement that it was not Apple systems were not compromised. Passwords were not obtained from Apple computers. They said, as I mentioned earlier, it was more a human thing rather than a technical thing, the problem here. Now, Apple have announced they're going to be more security measurements in place and more layers of security, email notifications, push notifications, things like that. But I think everyone should take note. Strong passwords. Don't have your same password across multiple devices, multiple accounts, because if one goes, they're all going to go. There are two-step authentications and levels of security on things like Facebook and Twitter, Dropbox, PayPal, Google, Gmail, and of course iCloud as well. Best to be safe rather than sorry. I've written about it on Tech Guide. You can read about it there. If you don't want to get caught out, best thing, keep those passwords safe, strong, and secure. And that's our show for this week. We're actually packing our bags and heading to San Francisco for the Apple iPhone event, and we'll dedicate next week's entire show giving you a full report and hands-on review of whatever is unveiled. Special thanks to our sponsors Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great having your company with us once again. We're already looking forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.